Welcome to the show. We hope you have a blast. Thanks for making time for the
What up? Welcome to another episode of the Dealer Talk Podcast. This is your host, Herb Anderson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, we're going to have an amazing conversation, a conversation that's very relevant to the current situation. We're going to be talking about how to leverage your database, which is critically important in these times, you know, connecting with those customers that have a relationship with you, those customers that have already said yes to you. And then most importantly, we're going to talk about some of the things that you need to be doing right now to make sure that you're staying ahead of the curve. Look, I know that these are crazy times. I know that, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty, but this will pass. And we got to make sure that we're ready so that when, you know, if your dealership is shut down, if you're not able to sell, or if you're, you know, just doing things by appointments, when things come back, we're going to have that pent up demand. And we want to make sure that we don't lose focus, or that we stay the course. So I'm very, very excited to have this conversation and to talk to our guest for today. So without further ado, let's get into it. Today on the podcast, Mr. Guy Super. What's up, sir? How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm locked down. Have been, so I'm going a little crazy here. I'll apologize in advance too. I do have a 6-year-old, and she may appear at any given time briefly. So yeah. So I'm sure all you guys are in the same boat as well, between the homeschooling and, you know, not being able to go out to restaurants and stuff and all those things that happen. And obviously the effect on both of our businesses, you know, sure. We're all in together in automotive, and it's tough. But there's a lot of things that we can be doing right now, even with limited staff, to make sure that we're still providing a great experience to people who are still in market and still looking sure. to buy something, but also retaining your owner base and making sure we're getting people into the service drive to keep the bills paid.
Right on, man. I love it. So typically I kick things off with a background, and I want to do that, you know, just to so people get to know a little bit more about what you're doing now and what you've done in the past. But it's just you know, the last couple of sessions, I've been really starting these episodes with more of what are you seeing out there, man? What you know, from your perspective, how are things just high level? Like what's your take on everything?
So I'm going to get into a little bit of data. I've got some visuals I want to share in a minute, but let me give you just a real high level perspective. It's very, obviously it's very proportional, and everybody, even in some of these hotspots, are in different, you know, at a different stage in hopefully a recovery. But at the same time, there's so many unknowns that, you know, you really got to have a plan that this could last for 18 to 24 months. Because the reality of it is, things aren't going to change all that much, even coming out of a recovery. So you got to get really good at your virtual showroom. You've got to get really good at automation, because you might have furloughed staff. You might not. You might have had to, you know, unfortunately, you know, let some people go. Mm-hmm. But you still got to run the business. So, you know, your website and your, you know, your whole virtual showroom with your hopefully your you know, your Roadster or your Modal or Darwin or whatever you're using there to be able to people get to transact online. Stuff's really critical. I see dealers. I've had a couple of conversations that said things to me like, hey, by, you know, kind of by happenstance, you know, we were looking 5 years down the road, and we really got good at getting together a really good virtual showroom strategy. And, you know, obviously not seeing this coming at all. So admitting to me like it was, you know, somewhat blind luck, mm-hmm. thinking that far ahead. But when I look at that, I think all of us really need to say, hey, in the last 2-3 weeks, the car business has changed by 5+ years. And it's important to think that. A lot of the stuff that people had been talking about, and we were pushing back on, saying it's going to take a lot longer before we get there, we don't need to worry about that right now. You need to worry about that right now. And you need to be looking what the things you thought were going to happen 5 to 10 years from now are here. So,
yeah, dude, I love that. And I had a session yesterday, and one of the things that the guests on that session talked about, which really got me thinking, was like, you know, I know that everybody's concerned about the right now message, but it shouldn't be just now. It should be the message that you're going to put now, but that's going to extend beyond that, because everything's going to be different. Right. And so I'm very excited for you guys to be on and to have this conversation. So tell us a little bit about you, man. Like what have you done in the past? What are you currently doing? You know, give us a little bit of a recap.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a lifetime car guy. My first job was at a little used car dealership when I was in high school. My buddy's dad owned it. Went on, went to college, and then ended up, got out and went back in the car business, and was on the retail side for a number of years in a couple different places. Big Chevy stores, my last one. You know, got up, it was a GSM, a couple different roles, F&I guy for a long time. So got a good feel for the industry. That's really all I've ever done. Went over to the vendor side with a CRM company in 05. So it called Autobase, and experienced something similar to this with the last kind of, you know, financial meltdown that we had. So I lived through that as a vendor, and, you know, it was tough, but you can make it, you know, and there, you'll come out with some battle scars, but if you plan ahead and you really execute and you know, you'll make it and you'll come out of it like a rocket, because a lot of people are going to fail and you don't want to be in that bucket, obviously. So, but been at a long time with Dominion Dealer Solutions in a, you know, selling equity products and things like that, but now outsell for the last 5 years. And, you know, we got a really, really cool marketing automation platform that, you know, takes all the execution off the dealer. You know, no more pulling levers, pushing buttons, sending people to a school so they can figure out how to use your new widget that you just signed up for. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of turnkey. And I really think, especially in times like now, and there's other vendors than us, so a lot of different options for you out there. But the combination of that with your, you know, digital retailing platform and a really tight website, that's how you can make things happen again with a limited staff and uncertain times, you know, to a certain extent. But
right on. Cool, man. Hey, I'm super excited to have you on, dude. So let's kick things off with you know, the conversation about your database, right? I think that, and I'm having that conversation with the stores that I consult with a lot. You know, I think that right now more than ever, leveraging your database is critical. You know, talking to those customers that have a relationship with you, that purchase from you, that continue to say yes to you by servicing at your stores on a regular basis. And so what are your thoughts on that right now more than ever? Like, I mean, do you see that as maybe the way for dealers to, I don't want to say, you know, leverage the situation, but it's, you know, now I feel like now we have a reason to contact these customers more than ever. Like, we actually have a reason to call them. We have a reason to get in touch with them. And I see a lot of dealers very hesitant and scared to do that, which is crazy to me, because we hit these customers up all the time and we never have a reason to contact them. We're just trying to tell them about the special and the deal and the sale. And now that we have a reason to call them, we're very hesitant to do that. I mean, are you seeing that? Like, tell me a little bit more about that.
I see a lot of that. But, you know, and some of that is fed from all the years that, you know, dealers in general have just abused their database. You know, they're attacking these massive messages to send it to everybody in the whole database. Well, right. What if they don't care? I don't care. You know, that's just that's been a bad approach for 10 years. But people, even in today's date, they're still continuing to do that. So I think that's where some of that hesitation comes from. But you still need to communicate regularly with people, but it's got to be in an individualized communication that makes sense to where they're at in their life cycle. And it's got to have some content in there that makes sense as well. So if they're shopping for a Camry, why are you sending me a new lease special on a Corolla? I've never owned one. I've never even looked at one on your website. And I've never shopped at one on a third-party site. So why are you sending that to me? Now, had we noticed some shopping behavior or something, and would we, you know, inject that type of stuff into the communication? Sure. But so consistent communications are still really important. It's got to be timely. And you got to, right now, you got to moderate the message a little bit, you know, so be mindful of that. We got to have a little bit of empathy, you know, us as vendors when we're talking to our customers, and sure, also the dealers when they're talking to their customers. So, you know, we need to soften that content up a little bit, and do things like highlighting some of the community responsibilities that we all have, talking about that and, you know, pulling people together. And I think that's important.
Right on, man. Yeah. So just to give you a little bit of background on me, I work for a company called GS Marketing, and they had a owner communications program. And I came from, so I came from Cox Automotive. I was on an auto trader in the Kelley Blue Book side of things, selling, you know, third party listings. And then I went there and dude, that was a shift for, that was a complete shift for me just in how powerful your, the database is. Because when you think about it, you can send your database an email, and for those customers that have a relationship with you, they'll consume that. And that's so cheap for that, for the dealership. You know, it's so cost effective. And you can actually measure that. You can see how impactful that is as far as driving either service business, or if you have, you know, like people that their leases are about to expire, or customers that maybe have owned that car for 5 years and haven't purchased in a while. And so you know, you said something right now about, you know, it's not that you want to mass communicate. That's not the thing, right? You have to do it right time, right message, you know, and segment that audience within your own database. And so right now with the current situation, how do you think that plays as far as, or what, or better yet, what is the strategy? Would you still segment that out? Like what would be your suggestions for dealerships to leverage their DMS right now?
So let me wind it back just a little bit, and let's talk about the different kind of data that's out there, right? So you've got, you know, you've got third party data, which is, you know, things that you would, you know, buy a conquest list or something from Axiom or Relevate or some company like that, all based on collected data from consumers who, you know, it's questionable whether they have actually opted in. You've got some second and first party data, which is things that the dealer has collected, first party data that's in the CRM. And then you got zero party data, which is people who have actually given you their information. So with all the things happening with third party data, with CCPA, with, you know, we all have heard about, you know, iPhones blocking a lot of these things, and just it's going away. So my recommendation is you jump ship off that earlier rather than later, and just understand that stuff's not going to be valuable. And we watch, you know, like engagement rates and deliverability and things like that. And like for especially with like third party data, it's like toxic waste in your database. You will get blocked, especially if you're trying to send emails out of your CRM system. They're never getting anywhere. If you think you're getting into a Gmail account, it's not happening.
Right.
Well, understanding that, right now it's time to focus on that first party and zero party data, which is what you have in your DMS system, all your owners and your service customers, and your CRM. You can't forget about that too, because as a replacement for that third party data that you really shouldn't necessarily rely on for additional prospecting, what are you doing with your unsold leads? That's your new conquest list.
Oh, I like that. Sense? Yes, I like that a lot. So what would you say? Like go back a certain amount of time, like, I don't know, 6 months back or something like that. Like how would you, like what would be the strategy there?
So we use a lot of data models and things like that to figure out when we should go back after those people, just based on what kind of content they clicked on inside of our ecosystem and the website, and compare that to a million other people that did similar things. And that will give us some timing and content recommendations for those consumers. But as a general rule, you know, when I was in retail, if somebody sent in a lead or a web form or something like that, or even walked in the door, and then you never heard from them again, didn't answer your phone calls, didn't answer your emails, most people give up on those in a week, maybe 2 weeks. So, but a lot of those people didn't buy, and they just got busy. And then they don't hear from you again, but they hear from somebody else. And that's the person they end up going and buying from. So if you're not getting back with them in, you know, 30 to 60 days and hitting them one more time, or 90 to 120 days again, you're missing out on a lot of, quote, conquest business. Now, my recommendation, though, is to get software that will take that up a step higher and say, hey, we had this person that came in, they didn't buy anything, and now all of a sudden they clicked on some of your communications, and they clicked on like a couple CTAs, like value my trade or something like that, now, right? That kind of stuff, that tells you their propensity to purchase has just gone through the roof, and you got to get right back in front of them. But you can't do that stuff manually unless you want to hire, you know, 100 people and you know, right, through CSV files and stuff. I mean, it just doesn't work. So,
yeah, no, I like that a lot. And let me, just kind of, elaborate this thought here. But so we talk a lot about, maybe just because of my vendor background, but there's a lot of conversations about the purchasing journey, right? But when it comes to the ownership journey, which really should be something that we're focusing on more, because that customer, once they own that car, that's not the end of the transaction. That's the beginning, right? That customer, is going to have that vehicle for a lengthy period of time. And during that time, they're going to go through these different stages. And during that is an opportunity for the dealer to really retain that customer, right? And keep that customer there for life. So as we... obviously in the current situation that we are right now, do you think that's still relevant more now than ever? Should we be really paying attention to how we're, those customers that already purchased from us and segmenting that out? Or do you think that a more just general approach, just because the message is pretty much applicable for all? Like what would, when it comes to your data, how would you present that message? You know what I mean?
It's more important now than ever. And I have something to show you here, a quick visual, just to scroll through a few of the things that we found on a study that we did, if you wouldn't mind a local
pull that up.
Experian right. And RXA into this. Because we wanted it to not be, hey, outsells telling you what's reality is. No, we have third party verification from two massive data companies that were in this with us. So what we did is we looked at a whole bunch of dealers, tons of consumer, tons, 5.6 million of them, 18 million vehicle transactions. And we did the study for over 3.5 years. So this is a massive study. And here's some of the metrics, and they're actually quite shocking. So people who do just what you said and have a strong life cycle strategy that they're communicating with those customers, with individualized communications over that entire journey. And that journey may bounce around. Not everyone goes directly from I just bought to I'm in mid ownership and I never come back until I buy a new car. They buy a car for their kid who's going to college. All those things, they still happen in there. So everyone's unique and everyone's different. So retention is huge. Loyalty rate increased by 49%. Service visits across all life stages, because we're not leaving those consumers in this big black hole, 31% increase. So this is just some of the stuff that we saw. And this one, I really love the incremental value, because when you're able to retain that many more people, you make more money on people that come back, the second car. They pay you more, they give you better CSI, SSI scores, they're just a better consumer. And that's where there's incremental growth, even with sales coming down, and especially with COVID hitting us.
All right, yeah. So let's talk about that for a second, because the other thing that it comes to mind right now, and maybe not so much applicable in the current situation, but since you're here and you guys are experts at this, I wanted to just kind of get your perspective just in general. But we spend a lot of time in the industry chasing that new buyer, right? That new customer. I think NADA stats show it's either $500 or $600 per acquisition for a new customer. That's a lot of money, man. You know what I mean? Just to get a new customer in the door. Do you think that we have that backwards, man? Do you think that we should be more focused on our database, on that repeat business, on building that loyalty? Because not only what you said and what the stats show that customer is going to buy again and they're going to buy for their family and all those things, but what about referral business and telling their friends and all that stuff? I mean, and again, it's so cheap. And what's there's no more effect. No, there's not a better or more effective marketing strategy than word of mouth, right? I mean, there's not. So what do you think about them? And do you think that we need to kind of look at that differently as a whole in the industry?
In times like right now, obviously we need to make decisions about expenses, and people are concerned about cash. Well, I guarantee, we've as a industry spent and in my mind wasted a lot of money doing, you know, bidding up ourselves and our own group on AdWords and buying third party conquest lists that really have a lot of junk data in them. Spending money on things when times are great. That's what happens though. You know, when everything's funny when you're making money, the opposite is true, right? So you end up getting a big swell in the marketing budget because you're profitable, you're selling more cars and things are getting great and getting better. But what you need to look at now is ways to be create efficiencies in your spend and in your execution. Still keep all your channels up and running. So there's still a spot for direct mail. There's definitely a spot for social. And of course for email because it's free. You know, but you need some way to say, hey, here's all these consumers that I have engaged on email, which is I'm not going to waste my money on direct mail and send to those people. Why would I? But that's really hard to figure out manually. The second one is with social. You know, Facebook spends pretty inexpensive, but it's kind of hard to execute. And you need a team of people typically to do it well. So to find something that'll help you automate that as well. And all those things are really important because with engaged consumers, I've got another visual too. I can show you really quick that I'd like to share. Hang on. So this is, we're getting a little into the weeds into our back end of our platform here, but what this is showing you is so nationally across the country, these are the engagement rates that we're seeing with our communications. And you can see there, you know, we had that significant drop. As we got into March and they started to get really, really ugly. So these are people with a relatively high propensity to purchase score, which means they were probably going to buy earlier on in the year. And then as things got bad, we saw a dip. Now, the good news is we're now seeing an uptick on this. And it varies by region. If I pulled this up and changed it, for instance, to the Northeast, which, you know, we all know has been a challenge. There's a much more significant impact when we go down here. But another great sign, we're seeing recovery right now. Even in New York, which is a hot spot. And that's why I'm saying, don't let this, you got to stay calm and you got to plan that you're going to come out of this. And hopefully we're out of it really soon. But if you clip too much stuff and you fire a bunch of vendors and put yourself in a really bad spot, your competitors are going to eat you for breakfast when we get out of it.
Yeah, no, man, I totally agree. I mean, I think that's it's probably one of the hardest things to do because what happens is, you know, even myself, as a marketer, we get into this panic mode state and then it's very hard to make decisions, right? And typically when you're in that place, you just lack perspective. There's just no other way to say it. So I think that's right on, man. We have to.
You know what? You're going to have some vendors that you probably should clip. Mm-hmm. But find out which you're going to know really quickly who the vendors are that are a true partner with you and are going to do things like provide you with more products and services right now, even if it's through the end of the year or something, just to help you get through this. And maybe help you save some of your expenses, be smarter about your spend and your mail, things like that. Sure. And those are the people that you want to stick with because they're gonna continue to do things and add more functionality that can help you and help us all get through this.
Right on, yeah. Now, and you said something right now that I wanted to kind of elaborate, and hopefully you could tell me or tell us a little bit more about Outsell and kind of what their philosophies and strategies are for this. But, you know, the whole concept of omnichannel, and you kind of described it, or the way what I consider omnichannel to be when you included social and mail into the mix, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times when you have, let's just talk about direct mail for a second. A lot of times when you talk to dealers about direct mail, it's just immediate, like, oh, it doesn't work. And it's like, yeah, but come on, let's just slow that down for a second. Why doesn't it work? How are you doing it? If you're doing it like you did it back in, 1995, where you're buying 20,000 lists and just spray and pray, then yeah, you're right. It absolutely does not work. But we forget that there's a digital component to direct mail, and that's the data. You can still, get the data and use the digitization, if you will, to come up with the data that's going to be better. It's going to be less people. It's going to be targeted and effective. And I guarantee you, you're going to see different results, right? And then you combine that with social, and now you're hitting customers. Let's say that you have your automated system that's doing the segmented communications. And now that customer sees you on their social media channel with the same message, with the same look, right? It kind of goes from one platform to the next, or from one channel to the next, and it looks the same. And then they, you know, if you're doing text messaging, then they get that. And then your BDC is calling that customer with the same message. You know what I mean? And then they get a direct mail piece towards the end of that. You know what I mean? Just to have that physical piece at their house. And then it becomes really, really effective. I mean, mm-hmm. Do you guys see that too? Like, what is your philosophy or strategies when it comes to that?
So you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, that is the way we look at it. You know, the biggest thing is we want to have brand consistent and dealer consistent communications across all those channels when it's needed, but not too much, right. Less more. Okay, number one. Now, when you start thinking about social and direct mail, you know, our approach is, number one, I talked about this a little bit at NADA, but we don't own printers. So we don't mark up our direct mail, because our goal is to help the dealer not spend more on direct mail, to spend less. So we didn't want a conflict of interest. So we don't mark it up. It's 38 cents a piece or 58 cents a piece for a bigger one. And the reason why we do that is because for us, direct mail is a very small component. We kind of call it like smart mail, because if we can get somebody engaged on email and or social, I might not even send them any direct mail, probably won't, unless it's like you said, to push them over the edge at the very end.
Yeah.
So we try and make really smart decisions about expenses, expensive marketing whenever we can. And we're able to do that because of the volume of data that we have on all these consumers. You know, so we can make much more targeted, much more smart, smarter conditions, whether it's which channel are they most likely to respond to us on, which channel do they not pay attention to, what type of content do they like, you know, what are they clicking, we even get down to VINs. I mean, if they're looking at two or three different VINs on the site and they're and shopping and they're due for an oil change, we'll insert vehicle recommendations with the VINs we saw shopping behavior into their service reminder. So stuff like that, that's what gets people to feel like, wow, this guy's really know who I am. This is really great. That's who I'm going to buy a car from.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, what is the alternative? A lot of the decision makers that I talk to, it's like, oh, it's all digital. Well, aren't you doing in essence what we did in the past, where, you know, like when you were just doing direct mail or you were just doing the newspaper? Like, customers today are in multiple channels, right? Exactly. And you have to be there too. You know what I mean? And I think that we miss that piece, right? So, yeah, man. All right. So kind of moving things along, I wanted to kind of take the second half of the show here to talk about some of the things that dealers definitely need to be doing. And again, I mentioned this earlier on in the episode, but, you know, I really had a kind of an aha moment yesterday when I heard that comment of, hey, we can't just be focused on the message now, because this can be over in a month. You know what I mean? So you have to think about the change now, but how that's going to change the consumer. And more importantly, how your message is going to be able to make sense now, but you're also going to be able to extend that. And you talked about three points in particular that are must right now. So I kind of wanted to maybe take the second half of this deal to kind of expand and elaborate on those.
Sure. So, you know, I mean, look, even when we do come out of this, I personally feel like the industry has changed permanently. You know, when I told you, hey, we jumped 5 years in 2 weeks or 10 years in 2 weeks. And a lot of those things are not coming back. You know, in the past, you know, your building was the most important asset that you had. You had a fancy service drive and served, you know, Starbucks coffee and all these things. And, you know, yeah, that's still great. But, you know, you're going to have people behind plexiglass, you know, in the service drive, mm-hmm. and not a lot of human interaction, and people want to get in and get out of there, you know, as fast as they can into a car that's been sanitized, stuff like that. I mean, that's going to be with us for a while. So when I really think about that, and then I think about the proportional changes depending where you're located, and as your market gets maybe locked down and you experience that, What are the really critical things so you can operate your business, obviously outside of your accounting software and all those things, but that allow you to continue to keep customers engaged, drive traffic back to your website, you know, get people to do some of this retailing online, maybe not all of it, but a good portion of it, and continue to keep your base full. And those three things are mainly encapsulated with a really good software provider. There's a lot of them out there that can automate your marketing and engage the consumers. A website that's really clean and simple and doesn't have gorillas on it and stuff like that. I mean, a lot of white space and just simple communications, easy to click CTAs, that type of stuff, and an integrated digital retailing platform. Now that I say integrated, because I'm not going to speak for all of them, but most of the digital retailing platforms out there are either a subset of the dealer's website or in their own ecosystem, but connected to the site with links and things like that. But what they lack is the rails to get the right people onto those sites and onto the right locations in those sites. And that completes the circle back to the software that you use as a dealer that understands each one of them individually. And when they're in the right spot, that they're ready to buy a car, they're ready to schedule service, we get them to the right place really quickly and really effectively without any human interaction. So that's, to me, that's why those three are like, for right now, if you're going to do something, get that done and figure it out. And if you need help, there's consultants out there that can help you with that.
Yeah, no, I love that, man. And I want to peel the layers here a little bit. And let's start with the automated system. When you talk about automated marketing, right? What are you referring to? And you know, like a platform that does it, you know, are you talking about AI? Are you talking about like, you know, let's expand on that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about marketing automation, I try not to throw AI around a ton because it's become this kind of buzzword where all of a sudden everybody's got it when in a lot of cases, you really don't. And AI is such a broad spectrum. I mean, you know, some people, you say AI and they think, oh, my Alexa box in my house, that's AI. Or they think, oh, a predictive model that I happen to have, that's AI. So it's such a gray space. But the reality of it is AI allows you in a general sense to make much better decisions as a marketer. So having really high quality data and a large volume of it, like you saw with our study, you know, with 318 million transactions, if you got that much data, you really can make predictions that are, in some cases, wildly accurate about what that consumer needs and what their life's, you know, what that buying process is going to look like and or where they're at in their life cycle currently.
Sure. Then,
based on all that data that you have, you can layer things in. So you layer in DMS data. You know a lot of things about the last transaction and the last car that they purchased. You know things like the last two cars they bought, they sent in their internet lead in and it took them 60 days before they actually transacted. So you've got to have all that stuff if you're going to have an automated platform that makes smart decisions versus sending the wrong things to people, because automation that's incorrect isn't that great either. So,
right. Yeah. You bring up a great point, because that's one of the things when you hear AI or even something that's automated is like, well, those there tends to be room for error. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think now more than ever, if you're not paying attention to the experience, you need to, because your customers are going to have very low tolerance, right? In the current landscape of today. And so, you got to be really careful with that. But at the same time, like you said, we're just at a place in the industry and just in general, and that this is not just automotive, but you can't have, that's not something that's manually done effectively, right? There's just too much. There's got to be a way. There's too many channels. There's just too much data. There's too much information. There's got to be a way to do that effectively and just kind of put it on a, I don't want to say a timer, but you know what I mean?
You hit it on the head with the timer comment, because you can't do any of that stuff that I just talked about without software. You can't. Now you can do calendar based marketing, but that is the people's tolerance for you sending things that are based on days since this happened has decreased dramatically. They don't like that stuff. They'll say, why they sent it to me, and you're unsubscribed. So now you got to chase these people with expensive direct mail or maybe on social, but you just lost your free channel of communication with them. So you can't do it manually. You just can't. Yeah. You got to find a partner, a vendor. You got to have data scientists that are in the background looking at this stuff, and that's how you make it happen. And that's how you differentiate yourself from all the people who are still doing the manual stuff. So, exactly.
Yeah, no, I agree. What about digital retailing, man? What are you guys seeing out there? Like, here's my thought with that whole deal. Like, and I've said this already on multiple sessions, obviously this season, because of everything that's going on, I feel like everybody's like, okay, we need the widget. Let's do it. Sort of a thought. But then that's it. They just put the widget up there, and that's not going to work like that. You know what I mean? You got to think about how that's going to impact your process, and then you got to think about how you communicate. How are you going to teach your customers what this widget is supposed to do to begin with? You have to have a message. You have to educate the consumer. And then the other thing that I see a lot of is that even the dealers are looking at this like, oh, we're going to sell our car online. But then they expect the customer to still come into the dealership. And so there's a conflict there of, you know what I mean? So, and even the wording on their website is like, buy online, but then you want the customer to come in. I don't, you know what I mean? So I don't know. What are your thoughts?
And what happens there, that's why I'm saying that it's that circle that I just described earlier. I won't get back into it, but if you have somebody who goes in and clicks that buy online, and then they end up somewhere where it's like, hey, I still need to go to the store. I don't want to do that. You know, they're going to bounce. They're gone, and you're not getting them back. So it's got to be a really tight process in that circle between your digital retailer, your website, and your marketing automation platform to bring the rails back there. And you got to have that process knocked out, and you also got to get creative. I mean, we're talking to a lot of our, bigger groups and some of our smaller stores that are really ahead of things and getting a lot of best practices. And we're trying to share that with people around the country, but doing things like, remote test drives. If people want to look at a car, I got dealers right here in town in Minneapolis. They're driving them over to their house, social distance, no contacting. Letting them keep the car overnight, things like that, and then doing the whole transaction online and then delivering the vehicle to them at their house. So thinking about how that's going to work, at your store, and finding really creative ways to make this kind of difficult time to buy a car a lot easier. And the same goes with service. I think you get some of that stuff figured out, as well as how it affects things like your F&I process that you have, and your service lane, things like it's complicated, but it can be done. And if you use software for a lot of it, in that circle, it makes some of the process stuff in the store a lot easier to focus on. So,
well, and then you have to think about the expectation for consumers moving forward, because if you did it now, then they know that it can be done. And so, and that's where the shift is going to occur, I think. You know what I mean? And it's not that I get hesitant, but I get a little, I don't really understand the concept fully when I hear this, like the industry has been changed forever in that sense, is like from this point moving forward so much. And then the respect that it's that much of a difference, other than the stuff that we're doing right now to combat the situation is going to become, is going to evolve into some sort of process changes within the store and how we service cars, how we buy cars at that.
I agree. I mean, it's not like we just took a neutron bomb and blew up the whole retail, on site experience. That's not what I'm saying. But some of these things are not coming back. And you got to realize that you're going to have to do more of this stuff. Like you mentioned, that consumer that, hey, I really liked buying a Tesla online and having it drive to my house by itself and show up in my driveway. I mean, that's pretty cool. So, things like that are going to become more apparent.
Yeah. And then the last thing that you mentioned, which I definitely wanted to cover here, is you talked about the virtual showroom, right? And I think that that's critically important. Because the one thing, and I just did a session that dropped this past Tuesday with the founder of 321 Ignition, a new website company that I was really impressed with. But the one thing that's constant right now is your website. And it doesn't matter if you're shut down, your website is still up, right? And I'm seeing, it's just crazy to me that as I do research and I look at dealerships, I go to their websites and it's the same exact messaging, it's the same exact layout that it was before all of this happened. And so why do you think we're doing that? We're not thinking about, you know, website traffic being up. We're not thinking about people being at home and going to your virtual showroom. And we're not conveying that message. We're not making the customers feel safe. We're not telling them what we're doing that's different. I mean, do you agree with that strategy? So we just ignore it, or do we need to, or does it make sense for us to adjust our virtual presence?
I you know, a couple things on the websites. I mean, it still blows me away that I still see, you know, inventory. I'll go onto a dealer website and look through the photos of some of the cars, and you know, it'll be June, and they got a picture of a car with snow on it. And stuff like that you can't do that anymore. You got to be more focused on what does this stuff look like from the outside in to the consumer. You got to do more things with video. Get creative with video on the cars. You're going to have to walk people through the interiors of the car so they can see it. Stock imagery is not going to work anymore. You know, you hopefully you have, I've seen a lot of people with the, you know, the green screens and stuff like that just have knockout cars, photos on their sites that are just blow your mind, you know, and that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. I think those are some of the easier things that you can do, to make that, you know, that experience better. But, and you also got to get away with just focusing on, oh, well, look at all these VDP views that I drove from, you know, XYZ event. There's a lot more to it than just dumping people onto VDPs. So get a look at the whole holistic experience.
Sure. Yeah. And that's a great point that you bring up, because a lot of the times, you know, one of the things that I do for dealers is, you know, I inspect their digital marketing, right? And one of the things that we look at are their goals that are in their Google Analytics.
Sure.
And you would, dude, it's crazy how many of them don't have that set up. And it's like, what are you measuring here? You don't even know what you're looking at. You don't even, what's the goal? So, you know what I mean? If you're not having those conversations and you're not setting that up, then you can't track anything. You know what I mean? So,
and I know it's hard, but you got to have, you know, that you got to have that third party out there holding people accountable for the money that you're spending with them. And also, I mean, it's just stuff that if I was a general manager or a sales manager or whoever I was in the store, that's things I want to see, because I want to see trends and I want to look at what's been happening over a quarter.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. Yeah. Dude, this has been awesome, man. I really appreciate you coming on. Thanks for sharing all this information.
Thanks for having us.
Dude, it's, you know, it couldn't come at a better time. I wanted to give you guys a little bit of time here to talk to us about Outsell. Tell us what you guys do. How do you help dealers? And how can people get in touch with you? Maybe do a demo, like, you know, give us some information, man.
Yeah. So, I'll just tell you a little bit about what we're doing now. So I was talking about best practices and things. You'll see us if you follow us on LinkedIn or any of the social channels. You know, we're trying to put out a bunch of, best practices and industry information. And then a lot of the data analytics type things that we're seeing, which I give you a little bit of a flash of there. And try and share that with the broader community. We think that's really important right now. We when this thing started to happen mid-March, we started up what we call our customer strike force, which is a group inside of our company, and we meet every day in a little scrum meeting, and then once a week to talk about, and we, you know, this has been going on, how we can do a better job with our internal and our external customers. And that's really important. So everything that we do is focused on improving their ability to perform in a remote world. So that's what we've been up to lately. Now, the product itself, it's a marketing automation, customer engagement platform. We're focused on three main channels, which would be email, social, and direct mail. With the goal of creating a full experience for that consumer throughout their life cycle, and utilizing AI to make all those decisions about what type of content and what type of copy and what type of channel we should be communicating with these consumers across, where they're most likely to engage to help us to drive, you know, sell some service, sell more cars and retain people, which is a huge play. So the beauty of it is, I mentioned it earlier, it's fully automated. So it literally is turnkey. You can turn it on. We work in the background. But there's also a ton of consumer insights inside the product. There's the ability to do on-demand campaigns with four clicks. And the best part is, though, when you look at email as a channel that you want to be focused on and looking at, I want to work that zero party and first party data that's in my DMS and my CRM. You can't do that through your CRM. You have to find somebody who's going to have good deliverability. Otherwise, you're not making it into the inbox. And that's one of our specialties. So at a high level, those are some of the things we do. Feel free to go to our website. There's a lot of fantastic information on there, as well as some of that COVID strike force info that we've been publishing. And we got a blog with some great stuff in it as well, if you want to take a peek at that.
Yeah, so make sure to connect with Guy. Go to the Outsell website. We're going to put all that information in the show notes too, so you can go there. Just, you know, click right into it. What about a demo? If somebody wants to do a demo of your guys' product?
So a couple different ways. You can call us. You can hit me or any of us up on LinkedIn. We're pretty active on there. All of our info is on our website as well. There's a button. You literally click, I want to do a demo, and we'll get back to you within usually 15, 20 minutes. So
right on. That's awesome. Yeah, man. Thank you again so much. I really appreciate the information. This has been awesome. Thanks for taking the time. I know that things are crazy right now, so I really appreciate you coming on here. That's all the time we have, folks. If you have any questions or, you want to get in touch with Guy at Outsell, please go to the show notes. There's going to be information there. It's going to take you right to where you need to go. If you like this podcast, if you like this episode, please share it. People can take this information back to the dealership and implement in their day-to-day. Guy Super, everybody. That's all we have. And as usual, we'll talk later. In your store. This show might help you fix it. Though we did not set the bar. Nope. We're just trying to...